This week, we're recapping all the insanity of SEMA, including our favorite builds, the return of Gymkhana, and we got Honda Odyssey Type R before GTA 6, plus the concours shaping up to be the next Monterey Car Week. But first, it's Stellantis' new hot boy engine. Welcome back to the Big Three, everybody. No Nut November edition. Who put that in the script, Joe?
Gotcha.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Not really promoting prostate health on this show, tell you that much.
What does that mean?
Studies show that if you, No Nut November might have some negative consequences on your prostate there, Bart.
All right.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I haven't been on the internet since 2014.
Yeah. So. My name is Nolan Sykes. Welcome to the show, everybody. Joe Weber, back on the Big Three. Well, you've been on the Big Three, but now we're back in studio.
Yeah.
As we say.
I'm back from my paternal leave.
Your paternal
and
leave.
Ready to, you know, work in the salt mines that content.
The salt mines that is content. Wow. And Bart Bidlingmeyer. What's up, buddy?
Everything's good.
Good.
Yeah. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. We're leaving again for our final leg of the big trip.
Yeah.
This week. So it's been a lot of fun. It's tough being on the road that much on Wednesday.
Okay.
Yeah. Luckily, this leg is like the shortest one of all of them. Yeah. So.
And you're pulling up here in how many days?
Sorry, what?
You're the end of the trip. Where do you wind up?
Oh, we start in Kentucky and then we're going to go out to Charleston. And then we're ending outside Atlanta.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Want to plug the thing?
Yeah. Sorry. So our finale event, let me pull up the flyer here just so I get the details correct. But if you want to be at the finale event for the big trip, you can actually be there in person. If you were at our Tucson or if you saw our Tucson event in the high-low finale last year where you could bring your car, test and tune, come watch us shoot the finale. We have some other surprises in store, but yes, it's going to be a great time. Let me find this flyer if I can.
I heard Outkast is going to be there.
Yeah. So the finale showdown live November 22nd, from 2 PM to 8 PM. It's at Caffeine and Octane at Lanier Raceway, just outside of Brazelton, Georgia, which is about an hour outside Atlanta. So if you're in the Atlanta metro area, dude, get your asses over there. We'll see you there. You can come bring your car. You can run the track that we'll be doing in our big trip cars. You'll get to see us shoot the finale. And we're also going to we have a really cool event t-shirt.
Nice.
It's like the Braves jersey.
It's like ATLians inspired?
No, it's baseball inspired.
Oh, yeah. Sick.
Yeah.
Love baseball.
Yeah, I'm going to have to grab one of those for you, dude. It's super sick.
Last week, me and Nolan were at SEMA with a bunch of other donut people.
Yes.
And it was my first SEMA.
Yes, it was. How'd you like it?
It's overwhelming.
Yeah.
It's a lot going on. I feel like this event solidified in my head more than anything else I've been to in the last, since I've been working at Donut, that car guys are just toddlers.
Okay.
There's, like the big truck section and everyone's like, whoa, look at the big trucks. And then there's like the burnout pit and people are like, whoa, look at these dude a burnout.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
it's pretty good.
It's well said. But it was fun. There's a lot of really cool builds that took insane amounts of work. And some of the craftsmanship that is put into these cars is insane. And I can't even think of how they do some of this stuff. So there's like that aspect to it. And then you boil it down and it is, like a
big
bunch
truck.
Of big truck.
Yeah, it's a big truck. There were a lot of big trucks near where we were parked at.
I call it the tiny dick alley because they kept getting bigger and bigger. And they're just like, oh, that one's got like 50-inch wheels on it. And chicks in the back. We're like hauling gear and like just trying to like get out of there. And there's this big crowd, all had their cameras out. And we look over and there's like women in bikini in the back of this truck.
Big truck.
And I'm like, God, I gotta get out of here.
It is a funny event when you have to work it and you're just like, I'm working.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where it's like, moving, I need to get from here to there.
Yeah.
And it's like a 5 mile long.
Dude, the walking is no joke.
Oh my God.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Like 18,000 steps in a day. Just walking around the convention center.
The convention center itself is like 40 million square feet.
Massive,
it's crazy. Yeah. And then there's, I got like dropped off in the wrong end of it.
Uh-huh.
And so I had to walk through, there's like a whole just convention center full of parts. You're like, where are the cars? And you're walking past transmissions and axles and stuff. And that was just as crowded as the rest of the SEMA convention. But like the scale of it, I think, is the most staggering thing.
It's pretty crazy. I was waiting for the metro train from our hotel to get to the convention center, but like it was so packed that like I had to wait like four or five trains because so many people were getting on. But I turn around and I see Chris Fix standing behind me.
With his helmet on.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Don't tell people what he looks like. He's very explicit. Do not.
Looks like a dude.
But not the kind of dude that you think he's going to look like. That's what I say.
Yeah. It's pretty good. Yeah. No, he does not. I don't know what you'd imagine Chris Fix's face to look like.
Mr. Potato Head.
Yeah.
That's what I picture under.
Like like a helmet like shaped head.
Like a big, yeah, but he's got like a big nose. Like it just fully fits in the helmet.
Yeah. But yeah, I turn around and because we work with Chris a few times, I'm like, oh, what's up, dude? And he's like, hey, do you get like, let's get a freaking Uber to the convention center. Yeah. So we did that. But then we got dropped off on like the far side of the convention center. So we actually ended up taking the Elon Musk Tesla Hyperloop thing, which is just a tunnel with people driving Teslas.
Yeah, real people driving.
It is hilarious.
Oh, you have a driver.
Yes.
I thought the whole point.
I think it used to be automated, but now they had a bunch of drivers doing it. And I was just like, this is stupid as hell.
And the stupidest thing is that there is still traffic. Like you still have to like stop because there's traffic.
Yeah, well, luckily we didn't run into the traffic in the loop, but it was just so silly. And there's like cheap like LED like lights lighting up the tunnel and stuff. And you're just like, this is so stupid. How much money did they grift from Las Vegas to do this?
I was like so walking silly. Up to the entrance and I was kind of late because the monorail broke down and we were like scrambling to get to the Hankook booth in time. And I was kind of like
that's
jogging.
The problem you're going to have. You only have one rail.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You need a backup rail.
A dual rail. But I was walking up and I saw this dude like skateboarding and I was like, who would bring their skateboard? And I was like, oh, it's Bucky Lastic. And so he was also kind of late like using his skateboard to get to the front.
That's
faster.
Wow. Yeah. Let's see. I don't know. There's almost like too many cool cars to even mention. I guess my favorite was the Ruffian Plymouth. Which I just love so much. It's a Viper powered like 30s Plymouth with carbon fiber fenders and stuff. Ruffian makes really cool cars. I talked to Chris first a little while. Want to definitely feature some of his cars on the channel, the main channel, in the future here. But it's cool to talk to him. Who else did we see? Oh, I feel like I was walking around so much, but also being at the Hankook booth, didn't really talk to a lot of people either.
Yeah.
I
went to the launch of a new, what was pitched to me as Reddit meets Netflix for car guys, an app called Driven, and it looks really sleek. And Amelia Hartford was there. Some other people that have series on that app. And that was cool.
Got to meet Larry Cosilla from Ammo NYC. That was neat. He had just gotten off of like a red eye flight. He had left. I think he's in Connecticut. He had left his home state at like midnight and then got in and then immediately went to SEMA. He was super fried, but like he was still cool. We're talking to him about this Cayenne that we were standing next to. Max was with us, and
he
found the only Cayenne at SEMA because he just bought a diesel Cayenne that he's been fixing up. Found the only one there. We talked to the owner there. I forget what his name, Steven, I think. The Cayenne was cool, but then he had like a GTI on the back, front wheel drive GTI like race car, but it had a handbrake on it. And I was like, what's this about? Like, and he says, like, a lot of those TCR cars that you actually went to go see, I think, race at, like, Petit Le Mans stuff, right?
Are you talking about, like...
The front-wheel drive, like, race cars. They're, like, Hyundais. Some of those cars have handbrakes. So during, like, really sharp turns, grab the handbrake a little bit, break the rear end loose to make
the
turn.
That's awesome. I know that.
I had no idea about that. So now I'm like... I have a front wheel drive car, the Civic with a handbrake in there for really tight turns. That'd be interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
Hyundai does really well in those.
Mm-hmm, yeah. So just really cool SEMA week. Again, talked to a lot of people, saw a lot of people.
We'll talk more about SEMA, but right now we're going to talk about Stellantis' new hot Turbo 4.
Ooh. Stellantis is building a hot turbo Ford dubbed the Hurricane 4 Turbo. This little guy makes 324 horsepower, 332 foot-pounds of torque, with 90% of peak torque available from just 2,600 to 5,600 RPM. It's pretty good. Not bad, but there's undoubtedly more power left on the table thanks to some other key specifications like port and direct fuel injection, 24% thicker cylinder walls over the current 2-liter they make. They have an innovative manufacturing process borrowed from the aerospace industry to make the cylinder walls extra strong. I wonder if they do like that metal, not electrolysis, metal trolysis. I just saw it on Alex Steele's YouTube channel where companies can use basically not powder coat, but a similar process to powder coating where you can vaporize metal onto other metal surfaces. Whoa. Pretty cool.
Ionization?
Metal ionization. Yes.
Nailed it.
You did. Great stuff. This thing can make up to 35 PSI of boost. It's got air-to-water intercooling. Very cool. A variable geometry twin-scroll turbocharger, meaning it can change its fan blades on the fly, I think. Plus a unique combustion chamber design that creates a faster, more complete combustion for both maximum power and the best efficiency. Works out to 10% less fuel to deliver 20% more power. That's what cool. we like to hear, baby. Gas is expensive.
Yeah. There was a variable turbo in the 80s, but you really don't see that very often.
Yeah. So having Stellantis be the one to bring it back, a little nerve-wracking.
Yeah. Well, what about the thick cylinder walls?
That does help. That does help. Yeah, no, that's really cool. Chop two cylinders off of the Hurricane. Yeah. Boom. You're good.
Did you see the Hurricane Swap Viper?
I've seen one. Boosted Motorsports built one for like Hot Rod Drag Week a couple months ago.
And that's
ago.
Making like what, 800 horsepower or something?
Making
like
a
that?
Lot of power. I think it's more than 800. I want to say it's that's like 1,000. Yeah.
So this is obviously built to boost.
Mm-hmm.
And probably like under tuned from
boost.
The fact.
Put that on a t-shirt.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Yeah. Let us know if you want that t-shirt. We'll go on T Republic and sell yeah. four of them. but I think they're obviously like purposefully detuning these, not detuning them, but like, you know, leaving a lot
some
of ceiling.
Ceiling. Yeah. yeah.
I think
vaulted ceilings, Joe.
Vaulted ceilings because of the, is it a Hemi?
I mean, most engines these days actually are Hemis, unless
Penta,
they're
pent
roof.
Yeah, yeah. pent roof. But I think there's going to be a lot of builds using this engine if it's compact.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, dude. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that. Joe, Bart, what do you, yeah. no, Joe, Bart, what do you think?
I think it's pretty cool because it's compact. I want Dodge to think of a different name for an engine, though.
Than Hurricane.
Than Hurricane. It's like, I get it. Like, it's the air. Okay.
Yeah.
I think they
should stick with the satanic stuff. Like the Beelzebub Turbo 4.
Call it, yeah. The Hellfire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Hellfire. New Dodge Paimon Turbo 4. Yeah. Yeah.
Cerberus. Cool.
Cerberus.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. That has legs.
Cerberus is cool. Makes me think of like a cybersecurity company, though.
The Styx.
Yeah. The Styx?
Yeah, the river, because it spins.
The river River Styx. River yeah. Styx. The yeah. Hades.
Mm-hmm. Ooh.
Mm.
Oh, here we go.
Okay.
Dodge.
The shitstorm.
The shitstorm.
Do you remember, Bart, we were at the like Dodge booth the first time we went to SEMA. Yeah. Do you remember that?
Yeah. That was like the first meet and greet.
That was cool. Yeah.
We did.
That was cool.
That was yeah. weird. That was, like, again, anytime you go to SEMA, first of all, anytime you go to SEMA, it's a little weird because it's just so massive and it's so much going on.
Yeah.
But that was another one where we were doing something for
Kia. Yeah.
There was an activation. Yep. And then, and it was like, it's going to, it's 12 o'clock, you know, and we,
yeah.
And then some of the Dodge guys were like, who are you?
Yeah.
I don't know where we're going to put these guys.
Yeah.
They didn't think of where you're going to have the meet and greet.
Standing at like a high top table.
Yeah. And then finally the guy who we were in contact with was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
These guys should be over. And it's like, okay, thanks. Good. Yeah. Someone here.
Yeah. That's, it's like so much going on that it feels kind of disorganized.
I mean, I just think about all the logistics and labor it takes to like place everything inside the.
And that's only half of what's going on. There's also the Apex stuff.
Oh yeah, yeah,
which was like at the Venetian or
that was at. I did actually end up going to that. So Apex is like the. That's where I think like the big deals get made because it's a lot of like big manufacturers, not just like OEMs, but you know Brembo's there, Valvoline has their setup there, and like that's where the business, the handshakes, the
the SEMA's a show,
the SEMA's,
you know, like in that. But then where the business, there's places business happen, and it's
and
not
like a lot of these. Like we were at the Premium Guard booth because they're our official filter partner here at Donut. But all I noticed a lot of these. Along with Premium Guard, a lot of these stands have like their own little conference rooms that they've set up at their booths at Apex. Yeah. So like
so the they're deals,
all, the deals are going on in those conference rooms. Yeah.
That's where Duncan Brembo shakes hands with Bill Valvoline.
Yeah. So that was pretty interesting too, seeing that. Not as flashy as SEMA, of course, but pretty interesting still.
And you, did you make any deals? Did you do any unsightly backroom haggling?
I did a signing at the Premium Guard, and
that might have been a contract, dude. Did you read it?
They have people come up and you're just signing stuff, and then they slip a contract in for you.
Speaking of SEMA, we did see some really cool builds there. The announcement of a new Gymkhana by Hoonigan is pretty exciting, and it's going to feature the angriest Subaru brat you've ever seen. Which I
don't know. Justin is pretty. His is pretty angry.
Justin's is angry. It's got really cool
like
wheels.
A different kind of angry. Yeah. Like it's mad that it's not getting taken better care of.
No, it's fine. It's been taken. It's good. It's good. It runs and drives.
Also, do you know what BRAT stands for? I didn't know it was an anagram.
No,
but it's like bilateral recreational all-terrain vehicle or all-terrain or something.
Yeah. Interesting.
I didn't know it was an acronym.
Me neither.
Yeah. Anyways, back to this Gymkhana brat. It's built in partnership with Vermont Sports Car and driven by Travis Pastrana himself. This 1978 model year brat sports some impressive equipment to make for some massive stunts. It's got a turbocharged 2-liter flat four, which makes 670 horsepower, 680 foot-pound of torque. It redlines at over 9,500 RPM.
That's wild.
Which I think is in the name, too. It's like a Brat 9,500 or something like that. The all-wheel drive system features a 6-speed sequential SADEV gearbox and motorsport-grade differentials.
Nice.
Dude, can you imagine the kind of stunts
good too.
That Travis
is going to pull
in? It
looks so clean.
It looks pretty cool. I like that it has like the push bar in the front still, too. Mm-hmm. That's fun.
It has that crazy active aero for braking and stuff, too.
And I know it's a Subaru, but it's almost got the TRD color stripes. Mm-hmm. But again, you can never go wrong with that on any car.
I saw that on like a Ford at SEMA too. Like
a lot of people. There's one on a Chevy in my neighborhood.
Really?
Yeah. And you walk by, you're just like, it just looks so good. Yeah. Those colors.
You can't really deny it. Yeah.
Like those are also Taco Bell, old school Taco Bell colors too.
They are.
It makes me hungry every time I see that car drive past.
Perfectly normal.
Speaking of the build, the front fender louvers with adjustable active aerodynamics, like we were talking about, Pastrana can use these to control the car's front end balance while in flight or on the ground. That's insane.
That's insane.
Say out loud is like,
I got to go back down.
Yeah.
You remember Rush 2049?
Mm-hmm.
When you could like control how the car flies in the air? That's how this feels like.
Yeah. Crazy.
I wonder if he's gonna, if it's light enough that like revving it would pitch him up or like braking would pitch him down like it would in a, like a motorbike.
Oh, like in the air?
Yeah.
I would imagine so, because like when we were jumping our Ranger for that video, the same principle applied.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If you rev it too much, like
the nose goes up.
The nose. Yeah, exactly.
That's crazy.
And that's how we ended up braking it, because I like pitched the truck way up, because I was just pinning it while I was flying through the air and pitched the front end up. But it was like landed on the back wheel and
there's
bent
too
our,
much torque.
That's physics,
going.
Baby.
Physics. Not too much torque, but it just like I landed on our leaf spring, like bent and all that. Anyway, whatever. You know. But yes, I would imagine so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, guys, what do we think of this new Gymkhana? Are we excited about it?
For what we're going to see it do.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. Yeah. I mean, they did the there's another one. The previous Gymkhana with Travis with that wagon that he had, that was really good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always, Gymkhana is always fun to watch.
Also Subaru.
Also Subaru.
Last three builds have been Subarus. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The one at the dock was really cool.
The Gymkhana 2?
Yeah, when he just...
Dock. Or when he jumped over the helicopter.
Yes.
Travis. Yeah, okay. That was sick, yeah.
And then it went to the family wagon, which has a name like family something. Mm-hmm.
That also has active arrow on it.
Yeah, that's the one I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
But, I mean, this one's in Australia.
Okay.
Scotto's been teasing some pictures of, like, kangaroos drinking cans of stuff.
Cool. 10 out of 10 already. Don't even.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And no. You know, Australia is already a wild place with some wild people. So I think.
Oh yeah.
They're going to try to go as big as possible.
You know, Jimmy's one. Australian.
Yeah. Which is weird. Cause I wouldn't put him in the top five wildest people at Dona.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah.
And he's got a lot of like both his uncle and his dad are in the Skateboarding Hall of Fame and the Surfing Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. That's kind of wild. That's
pretty neat.
And then you know, he's like scared to.
Maybe we got to get him on a board, dude.
Yeah.
You think it's in his genes?
Yeah. Absolutely.
We'll find out.
He's got a little wild streak in his genes.
Brown?
I didn't think about how that was going to come out.
We'll be right back after these messages. Now back to the show.
One of the coolest yet understated builds was by BC Moto, who made a Honda Odyssey Type R. While it's not as wild as some of his other well-known Odyssey builds, it's very well done. This thing has a Civic Type R swap and upgrades like a larger turbo. It produces 550 horsepower. Unfortunately, I did not get a chance to see this in person.
I didn't see this, but I saw Larry Chen's photos of it. Yeah. And it looks wild, and it's done tastefully too. It doesn't look like he made it look factory.
It's like OEM. Yeah. OEM plus.
He's a madman in the best way. He's so smart, and the way he thinks of, well, what do I want to do to this?
Yeah.
Like, and then he does it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm all of his builds, I'm just amazed.
And he's like unrestrained by any kind of bias. Mm-hmm. You know, he'll do like this kind of crazy ice shit, and then he'll make. You know, like
electric Porsche.
Yeah. And they all rip.
Yeah.
But he'll also be like, oh, this used to be where you'd fill it with gas. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to make this where you plug in.
Mm-hmm. This is where the hot dogs shoot out now.
And this is, you'll get it. Trust me, you'll get there.
Yeah. Listen to Pass Gas, Pin and Farina for that one. That was a good one. This thing also has a 6-speed manual transmission and the limited slip differential. It comes from the Type R as well. It's got adjustable dampers, not dampeners, dampers. It's damper.
That sounds like someone who made that mistake before.
Yeah, I got corrected.
Damping.
Some of Busy's other builds include a 480 horsepower turbo Honda Fit, Joe.
Oh, that's fun.
That won the 2014 Subcompact Award at SEMA. And another Odyssey that made over 1,000 horsepower. We actually featured that on Wheelhouse years ago.
I remember him driving it to the office, and it's insane.
It's so sick. It's one of my favorite cars ever.
Yeah.
So cool.
He's awesome. He had to do some witchcraft with this one. I remember reading about, like, this Odyssey Type R, and he had to use different blocks, like the short block from one Type R, the head from another.
Hmm.
But he's just like such a master with Hondas.
Elsewhere on the SEMA show floor, high-end restorations are going low-end. That's right. A lot of bass.
Mm-hmm.
Boo. There was a ton of we were trying to do a podcast, and we were surrounded by like aftermarket speaker companies. And so I was like, so yeah, tell us more about boom.
It was so funny, dude. So funny. Velocity Restorations introduced that it's building unique ground up restorations like the Fox Body Mustang. The shop has done a bunch of original 60s Mustangs builds over the years, but newsflash, old guys listening, the Fox Body ended production 32 years ago. Oh my God. That's as old as me.
Oh.
Whoa. So when I was born, Fox Body died.
The Nolan body killed the Fox Body.
What's going on here?
The Nolan
body.
The
are
Nolan
you on body. Venmo?
I'm not Venmoing. I wanted to see I know a garage. I Velocity Customs, and I was like, "Oh, I wonder if this is the same Velocity Customs." And I was going to look it up, but I'm not going to now because
these Fox bodies will get the brand's signature touch with beautiful bodywork, fine leather interior with
Sounds like a different Velocity Customs.
Just kidding. Modern stereo systems, unique gauges, and a big focus on opulence. That's right, in a Fox body. Opulence body.
What a great time to lean into opulence right now. People can't afford turkey.
That's really good timing. But they'll also feature Gen 3 Coyote V8s that crank out 800 horsepower. That's pretty fun.
Yeah.
Coyote and Fox.
This is interesting. What do you guys think of the high-end Fox body market? What do you think of the prospects of that?
Dude, one just I follow cheap auction sells, I guess. And this doesn't fit in with that theme, but a Fox body with like 7,000 miles on it. It was a Cobra too. So like a 93 Cobra sold for $70,000.
Wow.
And I think
if you're paying that, make it opulent.
Make it opulent.
Opulence. These things are going to cost around $200,000 to build. I guess I get it. Like, you know, you got people coming of age or who were coming of age when the Fox body was hot.
Mm-hmm. And now they got crypto billionaires.
They got some expendable income, you know, working at the car dealership, their dad's car dealership, maybe work. I don't know. Architecture, contracting. I don't know. Businessmen.
You're talking about Gen X.
I'm talking about Gen X self-made businessmen or working for their dad. I don't know.
Sure. You're saying people have the money. Why not do it?
Why not do it?
I think it's interesting, too, though, the difference between I think there's kind of a shift where it used to be the high-end opulent cars, supercars, et cetera, were for one person, and the other cars were for the working man.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And so now you're taking a working man's car and make it the high end.
Well, you see that a lot. I mean, I live over in Santa Monica next to Venice, and you see a lot of like creative director types rolling around in beat up, you know, Chevy work trucks and stuff.
With tattoo sleeves and the rolled up beanie. Yes.
Yeah. Kind of living that blue collar, you know, kind of
pastiche,
which I understand, you know, which I probably am guilty of as well. Yeah.
I can't remember the name of the car, but there was an old
boots.
I've had these for a while.
Yeah, nice pants too, man.
Thanks, dude. J. Crew.
It was an SNL parody commercial where it was the total luxury and opulence on the inside, but then on the outside it was all rusty because they were like, "This is it's the ultimate security system." and there was the Lexus commercial where they rolled like a little marble and it kind of rolled along the lines and it was and so they did and that on the commercial it kind of rolls and then it like rolls into a hole and falls
like
through
a
the car
rust hole. Yeah, I remember that.
Those are my like favorite kind of builds, actually, like like what Icon builds.
Yeah,
that's what they like, the patina on the outside, luxury on the inside. I love that kind of stuff. It's
what
just
are you on Venmo for right now?
I'm finding Larry Chen had like the best updates on SEMA. This one, it's an Auto Union 1000 SP, which I've never heard of before. It looks kind of like
Auto Union, y'all.
But it was in the forest for 40 years. And so now they kind of restored it, but left the patina looking like that.
Oh,
right? Yeah. And then they lowered it to its nuts.
That's all about patina.
But then the interior
is
kind of like.
His daughter Patina.
It's a
Patina
name.
Turner.
Patina Turner. No,
that's my Sykes.
That's his.
The Imperial's name, though.
Yeah. But, anyways. So it looks like that on the outside, and it looks like that on the inside, which is
well, even clean. It's cleaner than
that.
But
anyway, like Fox body as like the next. I mean, Fox bodies are hot again. They were hot in the early 2000s. That was like the cheap Mustang to get into. I remember Hot Rod magazine doing a bunch of stuff about you can grab one of these cheap and make a quick drag car. Now it's having like a
KG
second.
Jones probably wrote that one.
Maybe it's had a resurgence, dude. The Fox body, and I think it's also interesting. Like I was. My buddy, college buddy, Quan Wen, he has a shop called Mastercraft Unlimited up in the valley. He builds like really nice Hondas now.
Oh.
And like his clients are like people who were growing up when Civics were cool, or they still are. But, you know, like when Civics were hot, now they have the money to like afford like $100,000 Civic builds. You know, it's just interesting how it was like the Chevy Bel Air, Camaro, Fox body, Civic, like it's just going to keep happening. Next, 30 years from now, maybe it's the Hyundai
Dodge Nitro.
The Genesis Coupe. Dodge Nitro. Yeah. Maybe the Dodge Nitro is the next wave. Who knows? It's just interesting how that happens, you know.
Dodge interiors are already pristine. You don't have to do anything to
order. Sure. That gray plastic.
Yeah.
I do like this kind of build what we're talking about, like lowbrow turn into opulence or whatever. I think it's cool. I think it's a fun trend. And it does kind of, it has a narrative, you know, it's like kind of a rags to riches thing, which a lot of people romanticize, but then there's like random shit. This is like off topic, but I don't know if you saw that someone put a Z4 front end on a Supra. Cause that's like, it's just like the meme type. Mm-hmm. Like, why do you need to do that kind of shit?
Like on a new one? Or sorry, a new Z4 on a Mark IV Supra or like a new Supra?
No. Like, you know how people are saying like, check the Supra.
Yeah.
Check for it on Venmo.
It's just like, why do you need to do that?
That's kind of hot, actually.
You like it?
Yeah, I do.
That's I think it's sick. Just like kind of a meme lord thing to do.
I'm into that.
Yeah.
That's neat. on a serious note, maybe 350Z is next. I think maybe in 10 years, like a resto mod, like really nice 350Z might be the move.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
there's a way to make that look super sick with the gauges. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could see that.
We'll be right back after these messages. Now back to the show.
So the Scion nameplate is back. I had to double take when I saw
he
this
double
one.
Take he spit out his tea.
Toyota built a massive side-by-side dubbed the Scion 01, sporting a hybridized 300 horsepower power plant and no resemblance whatsoever to any OG Scion. This is not a Scion XB with off-road suspension. This is a side-by-side with a hybrid drivetrain. Really crazy.
Well,
so
we talked about it a little bit when they announced it.
Did we?
Yeah.
Oh,
I don't think they said what it'd be called, though.
Oh.
But that they were doing a side-by-side. Anyways.
So, Toyota says this beast can tackle a variety of challenging off-road scenarios, including high-speed racing, I would hope so, with 300 horsepower, rugged trail running, and technical rock crawling, with exceptional suspension articulation, balanced track width, and a nimble footprint for tight trails. The Scion 01 concept aims to surpass current side-by-side products in power capability and range. I think the side-by-side market is super intriguing and not something that we ever talk about.
No.
It's just like it's the big toy market, really.
Yeah.
It's like people who want to go off-roading but don't necessarily want to invest the time and money into building like a really serious off-road rig out of like a full-size vehicle. Yeah. You can go down to your Can-Am, Polaris or Yamaha dealership, Kawasaki. Mm-hmm. Or now coming a Toyota soon. Dealership, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Pick yourself up a side-by-side and do any trail that most people would have to spend like $100,000 on a rig to beat sometimes in some cases.
And you get the reliability of a Toyota.
Well, with the Toyota, that was my next point.
Oh, the turbo engine.
With the reliability of I won't say which brands necessarily. My buddy he had a side-by-side that he raced at an amateur level, but he was constantly replacing parts on the thing because they were just always breaking. They weren't necessarily some of the companies are now building them with like more heavy duty use in mind, but in the earlier days of the side-by-side market, those things they broke every time you took them out.
You're sucking a lot of dust up, and also
sucking a lot of dust.
You're going over insane terrain.
Yeah, you're really pushing the cars, and people just dry the piss out of them too. So it's interesting.
Then you got to go down to town and put more piss in them.
You got to go down to the piss station, fill it up with piss.
Maybe this is a metaphor we can abandon.
interesting. So, I don't know. Like, could we see some Scion dealerships selling power sports toys next to Toyota dealerships? That's interesting to me.
I don't think they would be part of one dealership. I think it would be... own thing.
One full package, dude. You could buy your Tundra or Tacoma to tow your new toy. Mm-hmm. Maybe they have a little a trailer shop across the street. You could pick up the trailer. Big package deal, $100,000. You have your weekend fun package.
Yeah. Boy toy.
You got your
going
boy
back
toys.
To the car guys or toddlers conversation.
horny toddlers.
Horny toddlers. Car guys are just horny toddlers. You heard me say it first.
In San Luis Obispo, there was a shop called Big Boys Toys where they sold like RC cars, but you could also buy or dirt bikes. I don't think they had side by sides yet. This was early 2000. I think 2008 kind of wiped them out, this shop out, unfortunately. But they really are Big Boys Toys.
Can I ask, can I pose a question?
Please do.
Why do they need to use the Scion name for this?
I saw an I forget where I saw it. Maybe it was in the Reddit comment section, but someone posited the theory that maybe it's for copyright retention.
Oh,
okay.
You know, which sounds reasonable.
Yeah, but you all you have to do to is copyright it. I mean,
Well, you got to use it to hold on to it, though.
No, it's not like a Marvel character. Dodge is still like Dodge, Ford, all of their defunct models, they still they renew the copyright on it.
Okay, then maybe that doesn't hold much water.
It's not like they have to make a Marvel movie every year to maintain Madam Web. Like it,
don't they?
Nice. Nice.
Sick but burn. Yeah. I think it's like taking, like if you were to take Jeep and be like, now we're like a street takeover. You know, like, it doesn't make sense to go from like the custom street racing scene to dirt off-road stuff.
Yeah, it's strange. It was strange when I saw that. I was like, what?
Yeah. Huh? Also, the logo just looks like 2008. You know, they didn't update the logo at all.
Yeah, they could use a refresh.
Yeah.
Yeah. That would cost a lot of money, though, to like get a design firm, consultants to like...
But Scion, I think, also wanted to be seen as kind of like a toy car that you could modify easily.
Customize,
it's much smaller. You're getting in and on a budget. So I think there is some stuff with the nameplate that does make sense.
Maybe. It's interesting, though, because, like, they wanted to be the affordable, like, youthful option, but, like,
affordable, youthful fun.
A lot of these side, like, one... You can't. They're not street legal side by sides. At least in some place, a lot of places they are. But it's not like your daily driver that you're taking to work. A youth, like a young person, isn't going to buy a side by side, all their money and spend all their money on that. You need something to tow your side by side with to the trails. You know, it's kind of strange. It's kind of strange.
It's all kind of strange to me.
It's got to be. What the hell's going on around here?
What's going on?
Where am I?
What the hell that's going on around here?
All right.
I know. It's cool, though. 300 horsepower hybrid. That's pretty neat.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Speaking of ripping off the beaten path, the Vanderhall Brawley is a cool purpose-built EV off-roader designed to rip with the best of them. And for not too much money, this $43,000 rig is basically a cyberpunk dune buggy. I did get to see this thing in person.
Yeah.
It was pretty neat. I thought it was an FJ Cruiser at first or something like that. It looks very FJ-esque.
Is that big?
Yeah.
No, it's like shrunken down. Pretty cool, though. This thing boasts 408 horsepower, 488 foot-pounds of torque. It has got four electric motors and up to 140 miles of range, enough for a little trail weekend for you.
A little jaunt.
It can crab walk as well and crawl up steep grades because each wheel turns independently. It can also maneuver in tight spaces. So, like, it can tank turn, maybe.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I think this would be, like, more fun than the Scion. For side by side,
you think it's more interesting,
or sorry. I think it's more interesting and more fun.
More fun,
yeah.
Why do you think more fun?
Well, I'm not a sun guy. I don't like being in the sun, and so the roof and the windows, are a plus to me.
Yeah, okay. And that equals more fun.
Yeah, and I feel like the interior is going to be nicer.
Maybe
more comfortable seats. I would pick this one over the Scion.
This poses a question. Will the increasing prevalence of small EV powertrains help create a boom in the EV off-road segment? Electronic EV powertrains enable insane maneuverability, and their instant torque is well-suited for the application.
Yeah.
Dude, I was watching a bunch of videos on, like, the Stark Varg electric dirt bike.
Mm-hmm.
That thing's sick as hell.
Stark Varg?
Stark Varg. That's what they call it.
Is it Norwegian?
I think they are... Swedish.
Scandinavian,
you know, that area. I'm not sure, but they just came out with a supermoto variant.
Whoa!
So yeah, you get in a lot of trouble with that.
Yeah, I would break my neck.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
I do think there's an emerging sector with these fun little EV toys, like the Myers Manx 2.0 is in there. That's a little bit more expensive, but yeah. I mean, who's buying a $48,000?
I don't know. Well, Vanderhall, they also built like they have like a three wheeler.
Yes, yeah. The Venice.
The Venice.
Which Max rented one on New Year's Eve one time. I was like, right. That's the most Max thing.
And finally, guys, we're going to talk the Wynn Concours, which actually went down the weekend before SEMA. There were 47 Bugatti Veyrons in attendance, 230 Lamborghinis, 30 Paganis, and even a healthy helping big old scoop of Skyline GTRs, something high-end for everyone. And the show boasted itself as being more accessible than Pebble Beach, which it seems aimed at stealing the cred and limelight from. I saw pictures from this. I did not go.
Once again, Larry Chen covered it very well.
I was surprised at how green it was. It's in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Where you get all that grass. Seems
irresponsible. Yeah. I mean, the staggering amount of hypercars here is crazy. Like that, I think I read a stat that this was like 10% of all Veyrons that exist.
Wow.
All in one place. I don't know. I didn't go, obviously, but I think it's a good opportunity to have people in a week before SEMA and kind of...
Was it maybe, like a ticketed event?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah,
okay. Pebble is pretty expensive.
Pebble is expensive.
And exclusive.
Even if you go to all the free events, like you still have to... if you don't live in the area, you have to rent a hotel or whatever. But I feel like there's the need for a second Pebble. Mm-hmm. Based on how many people I saw at Pebble.
Yeah.
Just like the overflow. That makes
sense, yeah.
People are complaining about broccoli head kids like car spotting from the highway. It's like there needs to be another event. This can't be the only one. You know?
Yeah, I'm not really like a concours kind of guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I appreciate the Pebble cars Beach there, but
Pebble Beach will always be Pebble Beach. You know, that car show is not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And it's cool that there's one in Vegas. And
there's room
to your
both.
Point, there's plenty to go around.
Yeah.
Right? There's, yeah.
Yep. Plenty of wealth to go around.
Yeah. Yep. We're going to have our first trillionaire, which I'm so excited for.
Yeah, it's really cool.
We do want to end on a little bit more of a somber note. We are going to be ending the big three very soon. This is, I think, December 3rd will be the last episode. We've been doing this for almost 2 years now, and initially this was James's baby, and then he left, so we had to kind of pick up from there. And I think what I like most about what we've been doing for the last couple of years is the interviews.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So next year we are going to be debuting an interview only show.
Yes.
With a lot of people from the industry. We're going to have celebrities. We're going to be talking about car culture that's bigger than just our little bubble. Mm-hmm. And I'm super excited about that. So that's something to look forward to. But I'm going to be a little bit sad that we're going to be not doing this every Monday.
Yeah. I mean, it's been fun covering the news and all that. But definitely my favorite part of the show has been talking to people like James May.
Yeah.
Jimmy Johnson on the show.
That Jimmy was really Johnson, cool. Bucky Lassick.
Tony Stewart was sitting right here.
Tony Stewart was so fun to talk to. I want to have that guy back on.
Just talked to Brittany Force. That was a lot of fun. I mean, definitely looking forward to doing more interviews. But thank you guys so much for listening. Again, December 3rd will be the last episode in this current format. And then next year we'll have some big changes. Yes.
Opulent guests.
They're going to be the Bugattis of guests, guys.
We're going to have 10% of all celebrities.
Glenn Powell.
No.
He's going to be here.
God, no one keeps forcing that guy down my throat.
Yeah, man. Using Twisters. Twisters was great.
But anyways, thank you guys so much for sticking with us these last couple of years. It's been very fun to dip our toe into the topical newsworthy stuff. And
we just think it's time for a change. And I think we're excited about this new change. And that's kind of what's most important in this space. Like if you're doing YouTube or podcasts or anything like that, like you don't want to feel yourself get into a rut. You want to be excited about what you're doing. And what we're really excited about doing in regards to this show is interviews and talking to people and getting their stories out in front of you guys, letting you guys get to know our guests better. And that's really cool.
Yeah.
So
sick, dude.
So sick, dude. Sick. Bart, you need to get to the aquarium, dude.
I know.
Okay. So let's get out of here, guys. Bye. Follow Joe at Joe G. Weber. Follow Bart at Biz Barter. Follow me at Nolan J. Sykes. Big thanks to our crew. We got Mark, Audrey, and Edgar behind the camera. And thank you, as always, for listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.